We're going to call it the Pentecostal promise, or the Pentecost promise. Okay? This is the promise that God the Father gave. The promise that he said you're going to have after Jesus returns to the throne. He did not leave us comfortless. He did not leave us alone. Even though Jesus physically left his disciples and it grieved them terribly. How many of you have seen a lot of grief because people couldn't be with each other? I saw more grief in the last 2.5 months because of people that couldn't be with a loved one because they were sick. That's horrible grief. And Jesus, yeah, somebody in the nursing home, the best they could do is wave through a window at somebody. That ain't right. I'm sorry. That's not right. We don't want that to happen in our country. I'm sorry. We're going to get rid of this thing so we don't have to wave at somebody when they're in a nursing home or when they're getting ready to go on to heaven. We don't want to have to wave at them from a distance. God doesn't want that. The devil wants that.
That's right.
The devil wants people to be separate. He wants people to be hurt, sick. And Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send somebody that's going to bless you. And that's the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be it's a Father's promise. So in that very scripture, look here in verse 4 in Acts chapter 1. It says, while staying with them. They were together. Jesus, during his resurrection, like I said last week, he said, touch me so you can believe. Seeing was not believing for them. Can you believe that? Here is the resurrected Jesus, and the disciples didn't get it. They thought they were looking at a ghost. What's it? What's those guys, those dead people that walk around that this makes? Yeah, they thought he was a zombie or something. You know? They didn't believe it. He said, touch me. Ghosts can't be touched. Put your hands in my wounds. Do this. I want you to touch me. And then he ate a fish breakfast. Praise God. I'm so glad for fish. So in verse 4, it says, wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. So God's promise is Pentecost. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So God's promise was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's say that together. God's promise was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is very important. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father, which you heard me speak about. Jesus saying, this is what I came to tell you about. Now stay in Jerusalem until you get this Holy Spirit baptism. For John baptized in water. That's what we want. We want to be baptized in water. It's very, very important for Christians to be baptized in water. But it's also just as important to get wet with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To get wet with water, but get wet with the Holy Spirit. To be immersed, if you will. And like I've said before, and I'll say to anybody who asks me, what's the baptism in water all about? It's like getting married. It's the wedding ceremony. It's you're all in for one.
Amen.
All in for one named Jesus. They were baptized into the name of Jesus. From now on, you're all in. Okay. So we have the Pentecostal promise that the Father made. And I'm going to give you four things that have to do with this promise. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the promised worship. There is a promise through Pentecost of a worship that you never did before. I'm going to worship like I've never done before. That's my testimony. I grew up raised in church services, but when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I worshiped in a way that I never worshiped before. Something was different. So what was different? Well, look in Acts chapter 2 now. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound. So the first thing that you're going to have with this promised worship is a sound that you never made before. You're going to be making some sounds you never made before. Now, I used to like to sing, and I'm all about sound. I love sound in every way, but I started making some sounds that I didn't make before. And that sound, for me, was a sound speaking in a language that, in my opinion, initially was a heavenly language. I was speaking in a language that no one ever taught me. I was speaking in a language because the Holy Spirit in me was talking His tongue, the language of heaven. Praise God. So you're going to receive a sound, and you're going to hear a sound that you've never heard before. As a matter of fact, I have heard the sound of heaven. I've heard angels singing. I'm not ashamed to say that. And I'll tell you now, ask God to allow you to hear the sound of heaven. And it you'll hear it. You'll hear that sound. There are times we've had worship services, and I'm going, I'm hearing some singing that ain't coming from Edgar. And it's not coming from Janet. It's coming from someplace, but it's not them. It's not me. It's coming from somewhere, and that's because God loves the presence, being in the presence of His people. And as we sing and as we worship, there comes a mighty rushing wind. And we know that the wind, the word for wind and the word for spirit is the same word. And Jesus said that the Spirit is like a wind. You don't know where it's coming from, and you don't always know where it's going. And it says, so are those born of my Spirit in the Gospel of John. So there is a sound of heaven that comes. And you may hear a roar. You may hear a wind. You may hear singing. You'll hear and you'll see things you've never seen before. As a matter of fact, they saw flames. So they were in one place. They heard a sound and they saw a sight. You know, what a sight. Now, I want you to know, there have been times over the years when things have happened here in the Holy Spirit, that you just look at that and you shake your head and you go, man, what a sight. I can't believe I'm seeing this. Now, some of it's because God just does amazing things, and when we react, we just don't know what to do. Sometimes that's that kind of sight. Like, I just can't believe. There was one time we had a meeting, and the presence of God came, and I was walking over somewhere in that section right there. We had different kind of seating, and the Holy Spirit hit us, and we all fell into a big pile. I call it a dog pile. A bunch of dogs laying on top of each other, just going. And that's what happened. I mean, it was like nobody could get up. Chairs were flying every which way, and we were just piled up and not wanting to go and not really can go. I mean, I couldn't hardly go, because the power of God was so strong. And I believe that there are times, and you've heard of services like this, where you've had worshiping the Lord, and someone would just wave their hand, and next thing you know, 20,000 people would fall down. So there's a sound, and there's a sight, and there's action, there's things happening that come with the suddenly. The suddenly. Now, people don't like suddenly. Some people do. But the human being, many times, don't like surprises. They don't like suddenlies. They like everything to kind of be a certain way. People like routine. They do. They just like things to be a certain way, and the suddenlies shock them. You know? But how many of you know that it's fun to be surprised, and it's fun to surprise people because you like to see their reaction, what they do when someone sneaks up on somebody, or, you know, they're just minding their own business, and next thing you know, something happens. And, you know, and so they had a suddenly, and we have to learn how to wait for the suddenly. We'll say that. I want it to sink in. I want y'all to learn. Part of the learning to for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there needs to be an attitude that says, I'm going to wait for the suddenly. I'm not going to assume I know what's going to happen next. If we get the attitude that you're always knowing what's going to happen next, then you miss out on God moving because your mind isn't really open. And so he said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait. Wait for the suddenly. And it says that they were gathered together in one place, and suddenly they didn't know exactly when things were going to happen. So prepare yourself to wait. Get ready to wait for God to do something. When we wait, it's because we're expecting good things to happen, and we want God to move.
Amen.
We want God to move. There's a story in the Old Testament about King Saul, and Samuel told him, I want you to wait 7 days, and I'm coming back, and then we're going to offer up this offering. And so Saul, after 7 days, was looking, and Samuel didn't show. Saul stopped waiting, and he missed what God had for him. I don't want to miss what God has for me. If God says, wait 7 days, and when seventh day comes, and he doesn't quite show, it's okay for God to not show on my time schedule. It's okay. Why? He's God. I'm not. The answer is very simple. He's God. And he's got a reason for not coming. Even if he says, wait 7 days, if he's got a reason, that's okay with me. Because I'm sure he knows a whole lot more than I do. Amen? So it's important to wait. Because we don't always know the timing. And so as they waited, tongues came of fire. And then they began to speak with their tongues, which I think is interesting. You've got a fiery tongue, and then your tongue is like a fiery tongue. And you're speaking in a language you never learned. And there have been times I've been in services in this church over the years when someone actually spoke a native tongue of someone else. Raise your hand and wave it at me if you've been in a service right here. Maybe not in this building, but I've been in places where someone spoke in another language and someone said, I'll never forget, one of them was Arthur Leese. You remember that? Arthur Leese was visiting us and someone spoke in a tongue, I think it was Wynne Bledsoe. And we're going back a few years now. She spoke in a dialect of an African tongue that Arthur Leese had heard and was familiar with somewhere in the Congo somewhere, out there, way out where. A dialect. A local dialect. And that's not just the first time that's happened. But that was one that I just remembered because I was just a young whippersnapper back then. I was like, wow. About Casey's age. It's like, all right. And there's been other times when people have spoken dialects or languages. You know what's interesting about this? This may sound funny to you, but God knows how to bring unity the opposite way that man knows how to bring unity.
Amen.
He does it the opposite because he's God. So what does man do to bring unity? He says you all have to speak the same language. That kind of makes sense, doesn't it? If we all want to have unity in here, well, we all speak English, sort of. Don't tell that to a Brit, by the way. We don't speak English. We speak American. But what does God do? God brings unity by having everybody speak a different language. And he doesn't use the Hebrew tongue. He uses your native tongue. Because they had people there from every part of the empire. Starting from the east, if you look at the list of all those countries in Acts chapter 2, you start from the east and you work all the way to the west, Rome. Rome was the western part. Iran, Parthian, Medes, all those places. That's the easternmost parts. There were Jews, and there was Jews as far west as Rome. And so the book of Acts starts with Pentecost in Jerusalem, and then it ends, where does it end? In Rome, farthest west. East to west. Which way does the sun rise? East sets in the west. God knows what he's doing. He brought Jews there from the easternmost part of the empire in those days, and then all the way to the westernmost part, the center, right, Rome. And he was getting ready to spread them out again. So what did he do? He says, I'm going to bring unity by giving you the ability to speak in a tongue that you never learned. But the other people, so you had a guy from Rome, a Jewish guy from Rome, speaking in the local dialect of the Medes, of the Parthians. You see what I'm saying? And a person from the Far East was probably speaking a local Italian dialect, right? Well, what we know is Roman language, but they were speaking the local dialects. So God was bringing unity by just causing the native language to really hit home. Isn't that awesome? Isn't God awesome? And you know what's also interesting, how God brings unity? Normally, in a man's world, unity comes by putting one person in front of a group and making that person the ruler. Right.
Right?
Dictator, whatever you want to call it. Put one person in charge and make them do everything. But that's man's way. That's what the world's trying to do. The world's trying to do that. They're trying to make everybody speak the same language and make one person the head of everything. But you know what God did? Instead of one person speaking at first, how many people spoke? Everyone. Who was enabled to speak by the power of the Holy Spirit? Everybody. Everybody spoke. That's how God brought unity. That God wants to speak through you, somebody's native tongue. Peter did stand up later and speak. He did. And God will raise up somebody to speak too, like the message that he gave. But God wants to speak through you because you'll say it in a way that is going to reach somebody that I can't say it because of who you are. And because of your native tongue. And he may give you a way to say it. That you're going, I don't know why I'm saying it this way, but. And then you say it. And somebody goes, man, you just nailed me. And I really want you to know, we love that kind of diversity. I'd rather, you know. I went to a meeting one time. And at that time, I have to confess. That I had bought into the lie that if you get prayed for, get the big shot to pray for you. You know, find the most famous, anointed, you know what I mean, person, and then make a beeline for them, right? Like if you're going to go to a meeting, find the famous people or the preachers, the TV preachers or the guys with the big crowds or the big testimonies. And then make yourself then be pushy and try to get them to pray for you. Come on now. Isn't that pretty much the mentality you see in big meetings like that? So I go to a meeting in Toronto in 1994 or 5. I think Barry had gone up the year before or months before and came back totally messed up. Of course, he was messed up anyway, but he was just more messed up. So we decided to go up there. And I'm in the meeting, and I thought, I realized, man, I need someone to pray for me. And there was this Swiss girl. She was the daughter of one of the preachers, and she was doing what I call the chicken walk up front. You know what the chicken walk is? That's where you do the jerks and try to walk at the same time. The Holy Spirit hits you, and you can't move because you're jerking. So she's doing, I call it the chicken walk. And we used to laugh at that, okay? And she's just like, you know, like moving her head and plucking, you know, and I thought, I was just cracking up. I said, look, honey, chicken walk. I ain't seen that since we've been in that tent meeting over there, you know, years ago. She was doing the chicken walk. And you know what the Lord said to me? She was like 13 years old. Said, that's the one I want to pray for you. I said, but Lord, you know what happens when you say but? You see a foot coming to your butt real soon after that from the Lord, or maybe a 2x4 in the side of your head when you start saying, but Lord, that's who God wanted to pray for me. So she prayed for me, and I met the Lord. So I was reminded again, never fall into the trap of seeking that kind of attitude. Oh, somehow I've got to get somebody to pray for me. You just do what God tells you to do. We can have revival breakout here, and this young lady, God could use her. Right? We need to believe God. He wants to move. We're going for revival. We're having revival. Revival is coming. It's not because I'm going to put it on the calendar and we're going to call for a revival. That's not what happens. No, it's not like that. It's going to happen. And that's what God wants to do. So I want us to believe Him right now. Let's believe Him. Let's believe Him that God will pour out the promise of the Father afresh, and that the baptism of the Holy Spirit will be so real, and that we'll hear the sounds of heaven, we'll see the sights of heaven, we'll get touched, that God will cause us to speak in a native language that we never learned, never studied, never learned, yet God's going to give us the ability to communicate, and it's going to mess us up. I mean, that's the only way I know how to describe it. Just mess us up. We need to get messed up. Because God has some people He wants to touch. He's got some pretty hard-hearted folks out around us. You know? And He's got to start with us. He's got to tenderize us. It says when Peter preached, it says people were pricked in the heart. They were defenseless. You know? When Peter preached, they couldn't stop his words. They couldn't stop his words. There was something about Peter's words that they had no defenses for. So, Father, we pray right now. Father, we pray for that day. And, Lord, we say we prepare ourselves for the suddenly of God. Father, we are willing to wait upon You and make ourselves ready for You to move whenever You say. Lord, we say, Lord, it's impossible for You to be late. It's impossible. You can't ever be late because You're always on time, because You're a right on time God, always. And Father God, we say, Lord, let us make us ready for You to come. Father God, we say, let us see things. Let us see the sights of heaven. Let us see the fire of God that does not consume, but energizes and empowers. Lord, let our tongues be taught a new language that hits home to people so that they get it, that they're pricked. They have no defenses for it. Father, we pray in Jesus' name for that anointing and for that baptism in the Holy Spirit, Lord God. Lord, that we would be thoroughly drenched with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And Lord God, that we would be thoroughly united with You, Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, for this new season coming upon us, Father, we thank You for this new season, this new Pentecost, this new reset, if you will. Father, we thank You for keeping us all this time, Lord God. keeping us. Thank you for keeping us. But at the same time, we also thank you, Lord God, for bringing us to a place of a power and authority that we might be your witnesses.
Yes.
Your witnesses. Your witnesses. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to gather together under one roof. It says they were gathered together in one place. Lord, and there was a sound. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we're going to continue to be faithful, Lord God, to do what we need to do so that we will see the presence of God come in a mighty way. And, Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise. And, Father, we know that whatsoever we ask, we believe, agreeing together, we have because of your promise that you've given us. And Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that we are blessed, though Jesus is not physically with us, but we long for his return. We long for his return. We long to be united with those that have gone before us. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory, and all God's people said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. 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 God bless you. I know there's more I could be teaching right now, but I just really, really feel there is a sense of the presence of God right now. And I want you to just take that sense of God's presence and that what God is doing right now and just walk in that presence and just say, God, give me more, even more as we go. Lord, let us just continue to be filled up and overflowing. That we might speak the native language to people that they have no defenses for. They're going to get touched in their heart. They're going to get touched in their heart. And they're going to say, what must I do to be saved?
Yes.
Amen. God bless you guys.